We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Sean, with only a couple months left of the 2024 offseason, going into the 2024 season, we know that Notre Dame is quickly finalizing the 2025 class. And Notre Dame has a couple kids that are going to be on campus this weekend in the 2025 persuasion. Already have, 19 commitments in the class as well? So things are moving quickly. We know that, for the most part, Notre Dame's class is probably going to be solidified by the time the first game kicks off and Notre Dame heads down to Texas to play Texas A&M, heads down to College Station. So I think that it'd be a good time for us to just talk about 2025 board and what's left, Sean. All right? We got to talk about what's left.
Yeah.
Who are the players that you need to know? Who are the players that are still on the board? What positions are the biggest position to need? So we're going to cover that all right now. All right. So we're going to go offense. We're going to go defense. We're going to tell you all what positions are left, what numbers are left, and who are the players that you need to know. Okay. Who are the players as we move forward here? Okay. We move forward. Then we also have one super chat, I believe, at the end. We'll get to that. If anybody has any super chat questions, please throw them in the chat. We will get to those at the end of this section of the podcast. Okay. So, Sean, let's start here. Offensively. Okay. Offensively. Quarterback. We know who that guy is. Deuce Knight, quarterback, Loosedale, Mississippi, George County. He's not going anywhere. And he is committed to the University of Notre Dame in the 2025 class. That's your quarterback. Running backs. We've mentioned this already. You're good where you are. Okay. You're good. Justin Thurman, Daniel Anderson, you can end that today, and you have your two running backs in the class. Notre Dame is still recruiting James Simon, who will be on campus this week. We'll see if anything happens there, but overall, you could be done at running back. Wide receiver is the interesting conversation, and this is where we need to start here, Sean, from the offensive side of the ball. Notre Dame currently has three wide receivers committed in the 2025 class. Those are Jerome Bettis Jr. Those are Sean Terry. Those are Elijah Burris. Okay. So as of today, there is a guaranteed one spot for Notre Dame. Okay. Guaranteed at wide receiver. But there could be two more wide receivers in the class potentially. Okay. Depending on who those two are. Let's start with the number one, though. The guy that we have known has been a priority for Notre Dame for about a year now, you know, right around. That's Derek Meadows. Okay. Las Vegas, Nevada, Bishop Gorman, 6'6", 195 pounds. Shawnee, that's the guy for Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame's in a pretty good spot. They need to close down the stretch. He's received a lot of recruiting momentum this offseason by a lot of Southeastern schools. Washington was high on his list before Kalen DeBoer left. So Notre Dame has been in a pretty good spot with Derek Meadows, but they need to close down the stretch. I think Notre Dame can close down the stretch. I think they probably will close down the stretch. Again, I'm not guaranteeing anything, but that's the guy to start with, Sean. Notre Dame needs to close on Derek Meadows. That is the number one priority for them at wide receiver in 2025.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it, 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I think watching some of these dominoes fall, like Braden Bynes Bright committing to, you know, to Washington, you start to say, okay, what does that mean for this kid? What does that mean for that kid? I think we're getting to that part of the season where, you know, maybe you can start to read into some of the breadcrumbs. He's coming off an unofficial visit down in Knoxville. And Knox, yo, they're probably going to be in contention to the end. You definitely expect the Southeastern schools along with them, like you said, because Tennessee is like Midwest to me. It's right underneath Ohio. Did I get that right geographically? I think it's right there underneath Ohio.
Say it one more time. Say it one more time.
No, it's right. It's right next to Kentucky, right? But it's right underneath.
Where are you talking about?
Ohio. Just geographically.
Yeah, I think so.
Ohio, you hit Kentucky, Tennessee.
Yeah.
So, see, I did pay attention in class.
But no. You were good, man. You were good. Yeah, you got it.
I think I don't know if I get the feeling that I worry about anybody.
Right.
Like, you know it's going to be a fight.
Sure.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, please don't tell Missouri people that they're in the Midwest. They'll fight you.
Do they not think they're in the Midwest? Where do they think they are?
St. Louis people think they are like South. Like, literally.
What?
Yes. I went to college with them. They're like, dude, St. Louis is the South. That's the gateway. Like, no, it's a gateway to the West. What are you talking about? Like, they will argue with you all day.
Missouri is absolutely in the Midwest. They're absolutely in the Midwest. Yeah.
I'm just telling you, certain parts of the Midwest, I mean, certain parts of Missouri, you'll get an argument from those people. But no, I think, you know, I don't know if I fear anybody. You know how you like talk to these kids and you're like, oh no, you watch this program for this kid or watch that program. I just think, yo, it's a kid that has all the top programs coming after him, but I just don't get the feeling or the vibe that it's one program that I'm like, man, I'm really worried about that program or that coach or that team. You know what I'm saying? So it's a different vibe. Is that an eerie feeling to have when it comes to Meadows? Because I don't want to be overconfident about the kid, but it does say a lot about how I feel about where Notre Dame stands with him.
Right. Yeah,
no, I think it's a perfect marriage where he knows he's the big fish when it comes to Notre Dame.
Sure.
I think he likes that. And then Notre Dame is probably treating him as such. Like, you're our guy. You're the number one. We believe you're going to be that instant impact guy for us. So, yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how his recruitment plays out.
Yeah. They need him, Sean. I mean, just point blank to me, they need Eric Meadows. They need him. Yeah. You don't have enough guys that look like him, right? You just don't have enough of them, especially in this class. I mean, look, I'm not going to harp on the wide receiver recruiting. We'll see how things end, because there's a reality that if you get Derek Meadows and one of the other guys we're going to talk about in this section, that wide receiver recruits fine. It's good. Mm-hmm. It's good, right? It's just the ordering of the wide receivers. I think, like, Sean, I'll put it this way. Ready? So I'll give it to you like this. If Notre Dame got, let's say early on in the process, they got Derek Meadows, they got Tanuke Hines, right? Bang, bang. Let's say bang, bang, really early. And then they fill it out with Sean Terry, Elijah Burris, Jerome Bettis Jr. You feel a lot better about this class, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you feel a lot better than it. It's just about the ordering of how it happened, I think, is where Notre Dame fans are freaking out. And I get it. Trust me. Like, I get it. Because the fear that you have is that you got the depth of the class early.
Mm-hmm.
And then what if you miss on the front line, guys? I get that. I get that pessimism. But Notre Dame has a chance to close on Derek Meadows, and they have a pretty good chance, I think. And there's just not a lot of guys that are 6'6", 200 pounds, run 4.5 flat, and average 26 yards a catch. Like, not a lot of those guys, man. So, and can jump out of the gym, by the way, and is a legitimate high hurdler, like in the track and fields. So Derek Meadows, I think, is a must get for Notre Dame for the ceiling. They have a couple guys that have decent floors. They need to get a ceiling guy in a Derek Meadows. The other wide receivers, because there's a chance that they go to five, Sean. And they're, you already mentioned it, Raiden Vines-Bright committed to Washington today. So he is off the board at this point. But there are still three wide receivers that I think Notre Dame will continue to recruit, even if they get Derek Meadows, okay? One is a fan favorite of this channel, Taylen Taylor out of Geneva, Illinois community, okay? Very talented player, potential top 100 player in the class. They also have Tanuke Hines, who I spoke about already, who's Houston, Texas, the Caney, 10 500-meter kid, very fast, very talented, a competitive dude as well. And then the other guy is who we talked about earlier. That's going to be coming this weekend, Sean. It's Javon Boggs out of Cocoa, Florida, right? So you have a chance. You first and foremost, you need to get to Derek Meadows. You need to get him because that is Notre Dame's number one priority, and they've not been shy about that. After that, though, you need to get one of those three. Tanu Kines, Javon Boggs, Taylen Taylor. You need to get one. You need to get one, in my opinion. Because, and then, Sean, if you end up getting, and I'll say it again, if you end up getting Derek Meadows, we're just going to say Tanu Kines for this conversation, Tanu Kines, and then you have the three-man class that you already have intact, that's a good wide receiver group. I would be okay with that. I would be very okay with that. But you put yourself in the position where you have to land a couple of your top guys on the board now. Like, there's no more, all due respect, but there's no more taking depth pieces the rest of this class. There's no more taking depth. You have to get the frontline guys now. Notre Dame has a chance to close on them. And if they do close on them, I won't say anything about the wide receiver recruiting. I won't say anything anymore until 2026. We'll keep it moving, right? But you have put yourself in the position where you got some of your depth. You need to close on the big time guys or the frontline guys the rest of this class. So that's wide receiver recruiting. Tight end, we know about, right? Tight end is James Flanagan. Don't see Notre Dame taking a second tight end in this class. That's their guy. And it has been their guy for a very long time. So they're set at tight end. They're also set potentially at offensive line, Sean, potentially, right? You have Owen Strebig. You have Will Black. You have Marty Augustine. You only needed three offensive linemen in this class, and that's the three. There is a potential, and we talked about it with the weekend preview, they're still going to recruit Josh Petty out of Georgia. And if Josh Petty wanted to come, they would take Josh Petty. He's a no matter what take. Yes, you can come. You can come. No matter what, you can come, right? So they're going to keep recruiting a guy like a Josh Petty. But they might be done at wide offensive line. So I would leave it just simply from the offensive side of the class, and then we get into defense. You have room for 1 to 2 wide receivers. Maybe a running back, but probably unlikely. And you might take an offensive lineman if it's an elite player like a Josh Petty. So we're only talking about 2 to 4 players, maybe at most, of addition offensively. But there's a reality where you get one more wide receiver or two more wide receivers and you're done. So there might only be 1 to 2 spots left in this offensive class. Okay. That's where you are numbers wise. Talked about the players defensively. Let's get over there because there's some work to be done at several positions here. Okay. And not in a bad way. It's just you got to close on a couple kids.
Yeah.
We talked about defensive line recruiting already, Sean. Let's just, again, let's vent for a second here, I guess, right? You have commitments from Davion Dixon, who committed last blue goal game, by the way. That was a little bit of a surprise early one. You have Davion Dixon. You have Christopher Burgess, who I think is a high upside kid out of Chicago. Simeon, high upside of defensive end. You also have Joseph Reif, who's out of Illinois as well. And then you have Dominic Hulak, who's a linebacker, defensive end, high money backer, like a kind of a hybrid position player, okay? Sean, there's not really a defensive lineman that's on the board right now for Notre Dame now. Because we already talked about Javion Campbell's situation. I also dropped some intel on the board earlier, and we kind of already knew this, but it was just verification, is that Damian Shanklin, 2025 defensive end out of Indianapolis, Indiana. I was just reading a comment. Indianapolis, Indiana, Warren Central. He is not going to be making his visit to Notre Dame this weekend, Sean. And that's just a recruitment that we probably should just stop talking about at this point. It's just not going in Notre Dame's favor. It appears that Damian is focusing on other schools that we've talked about in the past. So the reality is, guys, is that this might be the defensive line class. Unless Notre Dame expands. And if they, I don't know, one, if they have... I think that Notre Dame might have a portal option in the future as far as they might look at some players there. So maybe that's where they supplement the, you know, not hitting numbers on defensive line in 2025. But right now, I think that that might be your technical four-man class for Notre Dame in 2025. I don't know if there's going to be a expansion of the board. I don't know if who those players would be if they do expand. Just kind of an interesting situation, Sean. Just kind of interesting because obviously you didn't push for Jamion Campbell. You lost traction with Damian Shanklin.
Yeah.
And you basically pushed, for lack of a better word, you basically pushed CJ May out of the class, right? So I don't know. Not a huge fan of the defensive line recruiting, but just kind of is what it is.
And for more on that, go back to the first segment of the show.
Right. I was about to say, we talked about that a lot in the first segment. So, yeah. But that's it. That's defensive line recruiting. Let's talk about linebacker, Sean, because we did receive some good news that we'll talk about in this section, right?
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, the good news. You have a commitment from Josiah Kia in the 2025 class at linebacker, play Rover, Will type of kid. Dominic Kulak, I guess, technically counts as a linebacker, even though he's kind of his own category. He's his own player. Sean, you still have a chance to sign a couple more linebackers here. And it's an elite group that Notre Dame is pushing for. Okay. So as of today, here are the linebackers that Notre Dame is pushing for. They are pushing for Matt Inferiamo, who visited this past weekend, who Notre Dame made a big push for. And I believe that Notre Dame is going to be a high contender for him. Maybe the leader, at least a slight leader coming out of the weekend. You also have Noah McHale, who's a little bit of a, not a pipe dream, but I just don't feel great about where Notre Dame is with him right now. You have Nathaniel Owusu-Boateng, who you're going to have to play the long game with out of IMG Academy. And then you have Gavin Nix, who I think Notre Dame's actually in a decent spot with Gavin Nix overall. So Notre Dame though, Sean, if they're able to get two out of that group, it's a really good linebacker class, right? Yes. Right now, I feel pretty good about where they are with one, with Matt Inferiamo. From there, you need to land one of those other three, right? One of those other three. If you're able to land one of those other three, then you're going to have another good, really good linebacker class. But it's going to be about closing down the stretch, man. A lot of possibilities on the board at linebacker still, but they narrowed their focus a little bit, and now you need to close on two of these kits. You need to close on two.
Micro, macro look, they have positioned themselves to be able to have the best class in the Marcus Freeman era from a recruiting standpoint, whether positionally or cumulatively. That's where they stand. That's the position they put themselves in. And now as a staff, they just have to close it out. That's it. Just close it out. It comes down to their ability to close it out. I think ultimately closing is going to be easier for Notre Dame because you're about to get a change. I think coming up with the early, they're going to be moving the commitment day up to during the summer.
Yeah. For next
year, that early signing period, right?
Yeah. Yep.
That benefits Notre Dame and the way they recruit and the way they have to recruit, right? Because now they don't have to go into the fall trying to win big-time recruitments. We'll see how it plays out. But no, this class is all about closing. It's absolutely all about closing.
Yep. And again, they have a chance, I think, to close and have the tremendous class. But you have put yourself in the position where – you're working from a smaller board now. And that was by choice. That was Notre Dame's choice to drop a couple linebackers. You know, we talked about, oh, I forgot about Anthony Sacka. They already have Anthony Sacka in the class too. It slipped my mind. So you have Anthony Sacka, you have Josiah Key, you still have potential for two other linebackers in the class. But you have chosen not to recruit Christian Jones anymore. You've chosen not to recruit Antoine Delorier anymore. Antoine especially was a guy that I thought Notre Dame was in a really good position for if they chose to push for him. So you have narrowed your focus. Could you close on a couple of those kids? That's going to be the question moving forward. Now, the most fun conversation part of this show, Sean, most fun by far, is the secondary class, which we've talked about a little bit already. But let's talk about corner, man. Let's talk about corner. Creed Thomas, already in the class. Notre Dame is pushing for two more corners in the class. Three is the number, but they have the potential to go to four. Okay, so Dallas Golden, star, cornerback, safety, nickel, running back, wide receiver, whatever the heck he wants to play out of Berkeley Prep in Tampa, Florida. That's pretty much the top guy on the board, along with Mark Zachary out of Indianapolis, Ben Davis. So those are the two top targets on the board. But after that, Sean, they're still recruiting Tristan Haynes. They still are recruiting Jameer Joseph out of New Jersey. And I'll say this, Sean, even if, and God forbid, right? God forbid, let's say they get Mark Zachary and they miss out on Dallas Golden. If you get one of Tristan Haynes and Jameer Joseph, still a great class, man. Still a great class. But if you get Dallas Golden, Mark Zachary, and then one of those two, that is an all-time class. Generational would be a word that I would throw out there. That is a generational cornerback class, potentially.
Yeah, I totally agree. Absolutely, totally agree. It seems like the wizardry of one's Mike Mickens just continues to get better and continues to grow and what he's able to do and how he's able to relate to these top defensive backs, get them on campus, get them, you know, in tune with Notre Dame and then develop them once he gets them here. Like, there's buzz Saturday as we're watching Christian Gray. There's like buzz amongst the media about Leonard Moore. People are like, man, you can't wait to see Leonard Moore get here. It's like,
seriously,
dude, let the kid step on campus and walk into his room and get settled first. But, you know, that's something that Mike Mickens has established. That's the work he's put in. And this class could be the best of the best when it comes to that position. I think he's going to close with at least two of the top guys.
I agree. Yeah. Well, Sean, I mean, like, this is how I would phrase it, right? And tell me if you agree or disagree on this. Mark Zachary, I feel almost at this point, it's a more of a when it happens more than an if it's going to happen. Like, I just think Notre Dame's the clear leader for Mark Zachary now. I think they're the leader for Dallas Golden, but I still think there's a closing that needs to happen there as far as, like, down the stretch. And then after that, it's, again, Jameer Joseph has already set up an official visit to Notre Dame. For later this offseason, Tristan Haynes is going to be taking an official visit to Notre Dame unless something changes. I think that out of the top two that we're talking about, Zachary, Golden, I would say I feel great about where they are with Zachary, and I feel really good about where they were with Golden. So it's about closing on Golden and just kind of keep doing what you're doing with Zachary, because that has been very successful at this point. And he has a great relationship with Deuce Knight, by the way, Mark Zachary. I know they play video games together a ton. So, yeah. Who is hot? And Jason Smith just said, and so this is an interesting question, Sean, that we have a follow-up here. He just said, I think this is very important to this conversation. Who's higher on their board, Tristan Haynes, Jameer Joseph? Jason, from our intel and from our conversations, they would take either of those kids, it sounds like. So I don't think there is necessarily a hierarchy. I would say that they're probably in the same tier, if that makes sense. So I think that if they got Golden Zachary, let's say, I believe – and I think they would still want to take one of those two kids. I think that they would take Tristan or Jameer, whoever would want to come to Notre Dame. So leave it at that. Okay. I don't necessarily disagree, Brandon, but just kind of where the information's from. Right. All right. And last one, safety, Sean, there's only one name to know here, my friends, only one singular name. Okay. You already have Ivan Taylor in the class. You already have Ethan Long in the class. Closing time. For Mr. Jadon Blair out of Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Mount Tabor, who, Sean, here's a ready? I'm going to make a statement here. You ready for this statement?
Yeah.
I just want you to react to it. Here's my statement.
Okay.
In the end, on National Signing Day, if Jadon Blair commits to Notre Dame and signs with Notre Dame, I think he could be the top player in this class for me overall.
Wow. That's saying something, Double R. That's
pretty good, man. Because you know I love Deuce, man. I love Deuce. I like a couple of the offensive linemen. I really like Christopher Burgess. I love Ivan Taylor. Actually, Ivan Taylor defensively could have the biggest fights, in my opinion, between him and Jadon, right, as far as who's the top player.
Yeah.
But I think Jadon's a top 50 player right now, man. I wouldn't be shocked if he's a five-star eventually. Like, I think he's special, man. I really do. I really think he's special. Yeah. So there's my hot take, I guess, right? That's my statement.
I don't even know if it's really a hot take. Yeah. I think it's just a really good evaluation.
Yeah. So that's the last guy on the board. And Archer asks if Golden 247 lists is Dallas Golden as a safety. Is Notre Dame recruiting him as a corner? Yes. They are recruiting him as a corner, Archer, but I do think he has some flexibility that, depending on how his body develops and all that type of stuff, you could move him around a little bit. But yeah, he is a corner by trade, at least early on at Notre Dame, if he commits to Notre Dame. So, Sean, we had a super chat that we want to get to real quick. What statement? Ryan, turn up the volume. Okay, Ryan Loftus, turn up the volume, man. Jadon Blair, if he commits to Notre Dame, I think that he could be the number one player in the class for Notre Dame overall. That's my statement. That's my hot take. That's my statement. Might need to add a series on Irish Breakdown, Sean, where I just put some I just put some like statements down, right? Some hot takes. Let's get it. Let's do it. I don't know. Maybe we'll think about it. Probably not, but it's in the universe, so maybe it'll happen now. I don't know. Charlie Weiss's last belt loop with the lone super chat of the day. If there's any super chats anybody wants to throw in, please do so. Sean, Charlie says, how many missteps is acceptable until Marcus Freeman steps in and makes the necessary changes needed? The slow walking elite talent is asinine by Al Washington. Great question, but
see, you can say, can I be fair? Because I want to be fair. The foundation of any position or any program, the bloodline is recruiting, right? What if you identify at a certain position that you're going to take your shots and be really selective going after certain kids, you know, because you might figure like the big kids along the defensive line, the top kids may not fit for whatever reason, may not fit Notre Dame. But there are certain kids that we might be able to go after, right? That are already 300 pounds, you know, and we'll be selective. But we're going to be very heavy in development. So if we're going to be very heavy in development, then that means our evaluation goes to a certain type. We already like length, but then it goes to a certain type of kids that might be in the 250, 260 range now, that we feel like have the frame and body once we see them to get to where we need them to be. See, we don't know, we're not in the room, and we don't understand, you know, the lessons they've learned from missing out on kids like the Justin Scott and other top kids on the interior of the defensive line that might lead them to say, you know what, we're not going to waste our time.
Right.
And I'm not saying this is what they're saying, but, it's, from an NFL standpoint, you know this.
Yep.
Like, you have a system that you're fitting players into. And if there are guys that just can't miss at the position that fit in any system, then you go after them and get them. It's kind of apples to oranges because recruiting to, like, draft and all of that, it's a little bit different. But the board is the board. Evaluation is evaluation. And a certain guy at a certain position, like the two kids, that might be that's a great example, right? Sweat and Murphy. One might be higher on a certain board for a certain team, and the other one might be higher based upon need and defensive system, right?
Yes.
And where you rank three technique versus this defensively. Mm-hmm. So, you know, from the interior, could it be a point where they value in their defense and what they really want to do? They value edge rushers a little bit more than they possibly value certain things. That's what I'm saying. I wish we could get a clear-cut understanding of what they want, because it would help us understand and properly convey to the fan base, like, this is what we think about this decision and that decision. I'll say this. When you look at Damian Shanklin, when you look at a Nate Marshall, you think you know, there are certain type of kids that they're looking for, you know, along the defensive line. That they kind of, you know, once it gets to a certain point, they'll recruit a kid, and then when they start feeling a certain vibe, you know what? We're going to go ahead and distance ourselves from that. You know, I do think there's enough history there to see, okay, this is something that we're seeing. You know, hopefully there's enough Chauncey Villiana Jr.'s, Davion Dixon's down the road that are off the bat, off the cuff, automatic fits for Notre Dame.
Right.
You know, whereas we see a change, but I don't know, Double R.
Well, Sean, I would say like this, and it's a little bit of a different situation because these two coaches are in much different places in their career, but we were having a very similar conversation about Al Golden last offseason, were we not? Where it was like, hey, we think he's a really good coach, or we think he's a good coach at least, but he has to pick up the recruiting game, right? And now we're a year later where it's like, you know, he has help, supports around him, right, to help on the recruiting side. And he's an excellent coach, right? So I think there's a give and take to this conversation, Charlie. And I completely understand the frustration because I do think there were several missteps, okay? Several missteps in defensive line recruiting. But ultimately, if Al Washington is a really good coach, which I think he showed signs of being a very good coach this past season. I think he got a lot out of that defensive line. But if moving forward, if he's a really good coach, and he's making some missteps in recruiting, I think it's a situation where you understand that and give added supports, or you go about the process a little bit differently and you try to figure it out. Because at the end of the day, Sean, you need good developers and good coaches, man. I can supplement things to help on the recruiting side. That's why you have a recruiting department. That's why you have other coaches. It's hard to supplement being a good coach or not. I mean, that's tough, man. That's really tough. So I think there just might need to be some ports that are put in, Charlie. If he was failing at both, like if he was an underwhelming coach and an underwhelming recruiter, then I would be like, dude, like, what are we doing? Right? Like, what are we doing here? This doesn't even make any sense. But he did a good job at coaching last year, man. He really did. So I think there's maybe some supports that need to kind of be put in place if it doesn't get better. But clearly there's a little bit of a flaw in defensive line recruiting that needs to get fixed. I would leave it at that for now. Thank you, though, so much for the Super Chat, Charlie. It's very much appreciated. And, folks, that's going to do it for us for today. Thank you so much, before you leave, for joining the show today. And also before you leave, hit that notification bell. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. We will be back very, very soon. Tomorrow, Brian, will, I'm sure, will have his solo show. And then I'll be on at 6 o'clock. For Ivy Nation Sports Talk with Sean Stiers, we'll probably be talking a little bit about the NFL draft that's coming up in 9 days from today. Maybe we'll talk about a little recruiting as well. But thank you all so much for joining the show. That's Sean Davis. If you haven't checked out the Lucky Lefty podcast, make sure to go over to YouTube or search it on all of your favorite podcast platforms. And you can also search it on Twitter as well. I know they have a handle on there also. 5-star reviews over there. We appreciate you guys. Have a great day, and we'll check you next time on the Irish Breakdown Podcast. We'll be right back.